We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. I would like to read from Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. As we heard this afternoon at the nursing home, we know that we need your help every day of our lives. We come to you now asking for your help, not only now, but every day the rest of our lives. We pray that you would help us. And even when we don't remember how much we need your help, we pray that you would still help us, Lord. Be merciful and gracious in all thy dealings with us, and that you would guide us and direct us and give us wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion that can come only from thee. We ask you to, even when we're not trying to refrain the words that we speak that we shouldn't, we pray that you would help us, that you would guard our tongue, our eyes, and everything, that we would try to live closer to you every day of our lives. Lord, we pray that as we begin to study thy word tonight, that thy Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that you would guide us and direct us and help us as we try to study thy word, that thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We do ask thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that you know all the needs of all of your people the world over. And we pray that you would bless each one, not according to what we deserve, but according to thy mercy and thy grace. We thank you for blessing Sister Leslie to be home. Thank you for the progress that she's making, and pray that you would continue to give her the strength and grace and that she needs each day, and bless her family as they take care of her. We pray that you would bless Brother Jody. We're thankful he's out of the hospital, and pray that you would completely touch and heal his body. Pray that you would bless Sister Jane Bacon, bless Sister Stephanie as she has the stents done tomorrow. And all these that have been mentioned here tonight, Lord, we pray that you would bless each one, even the unborn babies. We know that you're able to touch and heal, and we ask you to do that. We pray that you would help all of us, that we would be more mindful of thy presence at all times. Keep us close to thee and close one to another. Help us to remember that we can't love you without loving one another. Forgive us of our sins. Be merciful and gracious in all thy dealings with us. Bind us together with thy love and teach us now, we pray, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of being a Christian. Being a Christian. If I were to stand here tonight and say to you, and Brother Andy probably knows more about animals and birds and ducks and chickens and turkeys and other things like that than anybody in here, but if I were to stand here tonight and say, I am a duck, and I were to declare to you that I am a duck and that I believe that I'm a duck, and I refuse to believe anything other than the fact that I am a duck. Brother Andy, is there any way you could help me? I may not look like a duck. I may not talk like a duck. I may not quack like a duck. I don't have feathers like a duck. I don't swim like a duck. I can't fly like a duck, but I still am contending that I'm a duck. Is there any way you can help me, convince me, or show me that I'm wrong in my feeling about me being a duck? Okay, very good. Show me a duck book. And we didn't plan this. He had no idea that I was going to ask him that. But he would show me a duck book. He would show me a book that shows me what a duck looks like, and help me to try to understand that here's what a duck looks like, and you don't look like a duck, and you don't walk like a duck, you don't have webbed feet, and all the different things. And he would try to teach me from a duck book, now, this is what a duck is, and you don't meet these criteria. You might even take a dictionary and say, now, this is what the dictionary says that a duck is, and you don't meet any of these criteria that it lists for a duck. Therefore, he's trying to help me understand by showing me what truth is. He's showing me that I'm not really a duck, even though I might declare that I'm a duck. And I might say, who are you to judge and say that I'm not a duck? The fact is, I am not a duck, no matter what I believe. The same thing is true of saying I'm a Christian. I think there are a lot of people today that are erroneously believing and thinking and are actually declaring that they are Christians. But what they need to do and what all of us need to do is find out, not by looking at a duck book, but looking at a Christian book. And there's only one book that you can identify what a Christian is, and that's the Word of God. We're going to look at the Word of God, and as we look at the Word of God and we see what God's Word has to say about being a Christian, then we can tell whether or not we're a Christian, not based on what we think or what we feel, but what does the Christian book, what does the Word of God say? How does the Word of God describe what a real Christian is? And then we can know whether or not we're a Christian. If you will begin reading tonight in Acts chapter 11, starting in verse 22, the Word of God says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord." Would you say Barnabas was a Christian? Now, all the characteristics are there that Barnabas was a Christian. And then in verse 25, the Word of God says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Now, there are only three places in the Bible where the word Christian or Christians is used, and this is one of those three. And the Word of God speaks about those saints of God at Antioch. It says, "And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch." Now, a Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. I took a Bible dictionary and I looked up what the Bible dictionary said. I even took a World Book Encyclopedia dictionary and looked up what a Christian is. And a Christian is defined as someone who believes in and follows or is a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not one who just believes in Jesus Christ, but one who believes in and follows Jesus Christ. Now, do you see the difference in what most people think a Christian is and what the Word of God declares that a Christian is? The Bible says here that the disciples, now that's a follower, that's somebody that believes in and follows Jesus Christ, the disciples were called Christians. I want to also point out that you don't find anywhere in the Word of God that anybody ever said, "I am a Christian." And when you begin to understand what it means to be a Christian, I think it helps you understand why people do not go around saying, "I am a Christian." Now, if you ask me, do I believe that Jesus is the Christ, I ought to be certainly willing to tell you and declare, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Everybody ought to be able to declare and should be declaring, if you love God and you love Jesus, you need to publicly declare and proclaim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But believing that He is the Christ and even confessing that He is the Christ with your mouth, that does not make you a Christian. There's more than just believing in Christ and confessing Christ that makes you a Christian, and that is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is what a Christian is somebody that's following Christ. And I think that the reason that nobody in the Bible ever called themselves a Christian is because everybody who is trying to be a Christian knows that they don't follow Christ all the way. They're not always faithful to Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're very reluctant to say, I am a Christian. In fact, will not say, I am a Christian. People may look at other people, and as they look at their lives, they may say, now, there is a Christian. Because as they look at their lives, at least at that point in time in their lives, you can see the Spirit of Christ in them, and you can see that they're following Christ. And so right then, you might say, now there is a Christian. I would say that of all of you that are here, that I would say that most all of you would be identified. I would identify and say, you are a Christian. Not that you're perfect. That's not what a Christian is. A Christian is not someone who perfectly follows in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, but it is somebody who is trying to follow Jesus Christ. It's somebody that's trying to do what's right. They're trying to confess, believe and confess and follow Jesus Christ. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Now, are there people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they are not Christians? By definition, there are people who believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they are not Christians. Look at the Bible to see that now. Please look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, we find that the Apostle Paul is speaking to Agrippa, King Agrippa. And as he speaks to Agrippa, he is trying to convert Agrippa from the error of his way. Does Paul want Agrippa to be a Christian? Did he want him to be a Christian? Absolutely. Should you want other people to be Christians? Absolutely. Should you want to be called a Christian? Absolutely. And you should be trying to be a Christian, and you should be trying to get others to be Christians. The Apostle Paul was a Christian, and he wanted everybody to be a Christian. Everybody, every child of God, he wanted every child of God to be a Christian. And so as he's talking to King Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, listen please to verses 27 and 28. Acts chapter 26, verses 27 and 28. The Word of God says, King Agrippa, this is Paul speaking to King Agrippa. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Now, do you know what he means when he says, believest thou the prophets? He's asking, do you believe what the prophets say about the Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe those prophets? And do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? And then he says, I know that thou believest. He believed that Jesus was the Christ. And then the King Agrippa said, verse 28 says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now do you see the difference? Did he believe? He believed, but he wasn't a Christian. A Christian was somebody who's going to confess that he's the Christ and is going to follow Christ. And though Agrippa believed the prophets, Paul said, I know that thou believest, yet King Agrippa says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I think there are many people today that just like King Agrippa, that they would say, I'm almost persuaded to be a Christian. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I love Jesus, or at least they think they love Jesus, but they're not quite persuaded to be totally committed to Jesus Christ. They're not really willing to try to follow Jesus Christ. Look at the next verse. After Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, verse 29 says, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but that all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wish all of you, what's he saying? I wish all of you were Christians. Now, brethren, I believe that's a noble desire for us to have, is for God's people to all be Christians. To want them all to follow Christ. To want them not just to believe, not just to believe and to confess with their mouth that they believe that Jesus is the Christ, but to believe and to confess and to follow Christ. It's following Christ and being a disciple of Christ that identifies you as a Christian. You see, if I say I'm a Christian, just like if I say I'm a duck, But I don't look like a duck, and I don't walk like a duck, and I don't talk like a duck. I don't quack like a duck. I don't swim like a duck. I can't fly like a duck. My feet aren't webbed like a duck. You can clearly conclude I'm not a duck. The same thing's true of a Christian. If I'm not walking like a Christian, if I'm not trying to walk like Christ and talk like Christ and look like Christ and live like Christ, and if I don't want to be around other Christians, it's clear I am not a Christian. I'm not a Christian. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. There are some things that you have to believe in order to be a Christian. A true Christian has to believe some things. Now, one of the things that I believe that everybody has to believe in order to be a true Christian. Now, does everybody understand there's a difference in being a true Christian and being a child of God? There are many more children of God. There are many more people who are part of the family of God than there are who are true Christians. There are many of God's children that believe that Jesus is the Christ, and they may love Christ to some degree, but they're not willing to follow Christ all the way. And so it is that the Word of God teaches here that in order to be a Christian, you have to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Here's something you have to believe if you're a real Christian. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. We're going to first talk about what you have to believe, and then we're going to talk about how you have to act and how you have to live, how you have to walk and how you have to talk in order to be a real Christian. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Scripture says about Jesus, or about Mary, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Do you hear what the Word of God says about Jesus? Here's what the real Jesus of the Bible, here's what the Scripture says about the true Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. Now, have you ever heard someone say that Jesus wants to save you, but he just can't unless you'll let him? I'm telling you, that's not the Jesus that I'm reading to you about right here. Jesus did not try to save anyone. He's not trying to save anyone right now. Jesus came and he accomplished what he came to do. And in order to be a Christian, you have to believe the truth about Jesus. And the truth is that Jesus saved his people from their sins. And that's a great blessing to know and understand that truth. Don't glory because you understand that truth, but rather be thankful that God has blessed you to know that Jesus is the Christ and he accomplished what he came to do. And when he hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he had finished the work that the Father had given him to do. And that is to pay for the sins of all of the people of God, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe. And Jesus, brethren, he died for them and he saved everybody he died for. That's the Jesus of the Bible. And in order to be a true Christian, you have to believe that truth, because that's the truth about Jesus Christ. And if your belief is in a weak Jesus that's trying to save and offering to save and wants to save, but he can't unless you'll let him do something, then you're preaching and believing in somebody other than the Jesus of the Bible. And therefore, you can't be a true Christian. I'm not saying you're not a child of God, but I'm saying you're not a true Christian unless you believe the truth about Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us in John chapter 14. I want you to turn just a moment to John chapter 14. I believe that a true Christian, I believe that the Word of God teaches that a true Christian will not only believe the truth about Jesus Christ, but I believe that a true Christian will also love Jesus. Love Jesus. Really love Him. Do you really love Jesus? How many of you really love Jesus tonight? Hold up your hand. Okay, hands are kind of trying to go up. Well, let's see what Jesus says, okay? Because you have to love Jesus in order to be a Christian. John chapter 14, listen to verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me," just three words, That's simple, isn't it? Just keep my commandments. Now, in order to be a true Christian, you have to keep His commandments. Come down to verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Jesus says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." In verse 23, the Scripture says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words." Now, can you identify a true Christian as not only someone who believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that He saved His people from their sins, but can you also identify a true Christian as somebody who loves Jesus, and the only people who really are loving Jesus are those who are keeping His commandments? Do you believe that it's the same thing? Do you believe you can love Jesus? Do you believe, let me ask you this, phrase it exactly right. Do you believe that you can be loving Jesus but not keeping His commandments? No, you cannot. When you're not keeping His commandments, you're not loving Jesus. You are not loving Jesus when you're not keeping His commandments. What does Jesus say in verse 23? If a man love me, he what? He will keep my words. He'll be keeping the commandments of God. There are times, let me ask you this, do you understand that there are times in your life that you are a Christian, but then there are times in your life that you are not a Christian? Does everybody understand that? You are only a Christian when you are believing in and following Jesus Christ. That is when you are a Christian. Those that we began looking at tonight in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, they were called Christians at that time because they believed the truth about Jesus, and because at that time they were following Jesus. The Scripture says in that Scripture that they were disciples of Jesus Christ. They were following Jesus, and that's the reason that they were called Christians. So in order to be a Christian, you have to love Jesus. I want you to notice something, and I mentioned this Friday night when I was trying to preach at Turner Church. I want you to notice something in John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34. You notice now in John 14, he said, "Now if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments," right? You will keep my commandments. Isn't that what he said in John 14? Now back up to John 13, verse 34. I want you to notice something right here. And I've never seen this. Everybody else here may understand this, but I didn't until one day this week. In the middle of the night, I jumped up out of bed and understood something I'd been praying about. What I've been praying about is in John 13, verse 34, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." Now, the thing that bothers me right there is that Jesus said what? A what? A new commandment. Now, what just bugged me and bothered me and I could not understand is that to love one another is not a new commandment. That's a commandment that was taught in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. That's a commandment that when Jesus began His ministry, He said that we're to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And now here we are at the very end of the life of Christ, or toward the end of the life of Christ, and He says, "I'm giving you a new commandment." And that's what bothered me. I kept wondering, how can Jesus think this is a new commandment? How can He say, "I'm giving you a new commandment"? Here's the reason. Look, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another," watch the wording now, "as I have loved you." You see the difference there? Now, every other time before this, every other time that the Word of God has ever said, love one another, the Scripture has taught us to love one another, and it has even gone so far to say that we're to love one another as we love ourselves, but now He goes much farther than that and says, love one another as I have loved you. Do you see the degree is much higher now? You see, there are some people, I want you to listen carefully to this, because there's some people I'm working with right now in in Waycross, they do not love themselves. You can argue all you want to, but I don't think they love themselves. Brother Clay, do you ever deal with some people that hate themselves and don't love themselves? And I want you to follow this now. When somebody doesn't love themselves, and Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you hate yourself, you see, you got a real problem there. And there are people that hate themselves, despise themselves. Most people don't, but some do. Now, Jesus is saying right here, I'm giving you a new commandment. I'm not saying anymore. I'm not telling you it's good enough to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm saying, love one another as I have loved you. Love like Jesus loved. Now that is the standard for a Christian. Listen carefully. That's the standard for a Christian. That's pretty high, isn't it? To love like Jesus loved. Jesus, though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. Jesus, though He was in the portals of heaven, He left heaven and came down into this world, and He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus humbled Himself. And when He came into the world, He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. That's Jesus' life now. There's the life of Jesus. Now what's this new commandment say? The new commandment is, love one another as I have loved you. You think how Jesus has loved you. And now that's the new commandment. Much higher, much more strict or much higher goal to achieve is to love one another as Christ has loved us. That's what it is to be a Christian now. That's what it is to be a Christian. Jesus has taught us something else in John chapter 13 about being a Christian. Back up to John 13, verse 13. In John 13, verse 13, He says, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Did Jesus wash the feet of His apostles? Did He wash the feet of His disciples? And then does Jesus tell you and me, does He tell us as Christians, that we're to wash one another's feet? I believe a Christian will be willing to kneel down and wash the feet of his brothers and sisters in Christ. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If you think you're greater than Jesus, you won't kneel down and worship. Wash. You will not kneel down and... Did I say worship? I meant wash. You will not kneel down and wash the feet of your brother. You're not to worship your brother. You're to worship God and Him only. But you are to kneel down and wash the feet of your brethren. There ought not to be anybody in this building that I'm ashamed to kneel down. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, I ought to be willing to kneel down and wash your feet. And if I'm not willing to wash your feet, the bottom line is, I'm not a Christian. I may say I'm a Christian. I may talk about being a Christian. I may call myself a Christian. But I'm not a Christian if not, I'm not willing to kneel down and wash the feet of my brethren. Go with me to Matthew chapter 25 very quickly. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us a number of things here that I believe a Christian will do. The Word of God teaches us this. In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 34, Jesus talks about some people that were going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Not talking about entering eternal heaven now. I'm talking about entering the kingdom of heaven. We enter the eternal heaven when this world is over, not of our works, not by our works, not according to our works. We enter the eternal heaven because of the work of Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But we enter the kingdom of heaven while we live here. We experience righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We have intimate fellowship with God now only while we are a Christian, only while we're following Christ. And here's what he says to do. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the what? Inherit the what? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and in prison, and ye visited me. Ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." You want to be a Christian? What did Jesus do in his life? He served, didn't he? He served other people. If you're a Christian, you're going to be serving up. You're going to be doing the things that are described right here in Matthew 25, 34 through 40. Helping other people, serving other people. I hope that God will help us tonight to realize that there's a lot more to being a Christian than just believing in Christ or just even confessing Christ. We have to be a disciple of Christ after we believe in Him and after we confess Him. Then we have to follow Him in order to be a Christian. Go with me in closing to 1 Peter chapter 4. Please look at 1 Peter chapter 4. This is the third place the word Christian is used in the Bible. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. Let me ask you this. If you're a Christian, do you think most everybody's going to love you? If you are a Christian, do you think most everybody's going to love you? And some heads are going, yes. The fact is, let me just back up and ask you this. Did most people love Jesus while He was here in this world? Did most people love Jesus? Wasn't Jesus hated and despised while He lived here in this world? And if you're going to be a Christian, Jesus says, He makes it plain, He says, if the world hate me, then you can know it will hate you also if you're my disciple. It will hate you. The world will hate you. And so he says, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, he says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Suffer as a Christian. I hope that God will help us to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus. I hope that you will never run around saying, you're a Christian. You know what you're trying to do when you go around saying you're a Christian? If you understand the definition of a Christian, you're trying to give glory to yourself and you're boasting that you're a follower of Jesus Christ. The fact is that if somebody asks me if I'm a Christian, I always say, first of all, I say, well, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe that Jesus saved His people from their sins. But when it comes to being a Christian, I want to be a Christian and I'm trying to be a Christian, but I'm not everything I need to be yet. And therefore, I can't say that I'm a faithful disciple. I can't yet say I'm a Christian. In fact, I'll never reach that point that I'm faithfully in every way following Christ. But I do want to try to follow Jesus. I want to be a Christian and I want all of you to be a Christian. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.